Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrapping?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps, episode 62. Man, oh man, what a crazy turn of events for UFC 246. Now, I got a couple of thoughts on the entire landscape of the fight card. Now, I know a lot of people were saying the fight card was underwhelming. Now, there were some solid fights, and there were some fights that did not live up to expectations. And some fights where the odd makers were just completely wrong. And also, to top that all off, we have the main card, the main event, where I don't want to say it was... I had Conor winning the fight. I had him winning by stoppage. I had him under 2.5 rounds if he was going to make, if he was going to win the fight. I thought after that, the odds were forever in the favor of Mr. Cowboy Cerrone. But of course, Conor comes out like he normally does, looking to push the pace and capitalizes on the situation that I did break down in my previous video where I was saying Cowboy likes to duck his head a lot. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Mystic Mac or Mystic Al Joe or anything like that, but I will say that is pretty damn good breaking down of an opponent's video and getting some fight analysis from the coaches and their fight team. I don't know if that was part of the game plan, but I'm going to say it was, just based on how Conor was pointing to his shoulder and when he went over to Cerrone, gave him a kiss on the head, was talking to him. Hey, show us whatever he said. He said something, pointed to the shoulder, kissed the head, gets up and walks away. Now, I'm going to say that was a part of the game plan, anticipating that Cerrone was going to push in as Conor pushed forward and put the pressure on him. Because anytime someone pushes the pressure on Cerrone, he has a tendency to duck his head. Just like I was saying, the Ally Quinta fight, he capitalized with the uppercut the one time. Mike Perry, he pushes forward and Cerrone gets in and he gets into his underhook position until Perry gets into his re-underhooks and takes him down. So there's a lot to be said about that. It might not have seemed like much, but I can tell you from experience that those shoulder punches do pack a punch. And directly on the nose of Cowboy Cerrone, who's had him broken, probably a broken nose multiple times. I mean, we've seen the stats that the UFC posted on Instagram saying how many, I don't think it was the UFC, I think it was the ESPN MMA channel. And they show us how many surgeries Cerrone has had over his lifetime. Broken his hands multiple times, broken his ribs multiple times, his nose, his feet. He's done a lot of things and has had a lot of surgeries over his time and career as a fighter and probably just outside or probably even before fighting. And that says a lot. That's a lot of wear and tear on your body. Yes, you're hardcore, but at the same time, that does start to play an effect as your career starts to progress. And I think we got to see that. We saw a younger, fresher Conor McGregor coming back, now remotivated, reinvigorated, and looking to get back on top. And he went out there and he looked sharp. And also after that, he landed that beautiful head kick. Yes, yeah, Cerrone did have his hand up, but we've seen Cerrone do this to Alex Hernandez. Now, Alex Hernandez had one hand up. Cerrone came, cracked him, retracted his foot, and Hernandez went reeling to the side, losing his balance, almost doing a split trying to keep his footing because you got hit and you kind of lose that equilibrium, that balance senses in your human body. So that's what Conor did. Followed up and he loaded up, banged him with the left hand, right hand, and banged him a couple more times with the left until the ref, Herb Dean, gave him ample enough time to try to get out of the position, improve his position, stay in the fight. Cerrone did the right thing, protected his face, covered up, but he didn't make any type of advancements to try to get back up or try to look like he wanted to stay and continue in the fight. It looked like his nose got busted pretty early and it kind of caught him off guard and he was shocked. And he's just saying, yo, what the fuck did I just get hit with? And I believe he actually said that in the post-fight interview. He said he didn't know. He said it were perfectly placed shots. And then the head kick, he said he didn't really know what was going on at that point. And like I said, man, I think this is a true testament to the IQ level of the coaches over there breaking down the situations and probably saying, okay, Cowboy keeps doing this in each one of his fights. How can we capitalize? Because we know we might potentially end up here and probably exactly the way they thought about it. It's probably the exact same thing that happened at the fights on UFC 246. Now, we had the UFC crew from the Fight Pass. They're having a new TV show series. I think it's called UFC Fight Party or Fight Watch Party, something along those lines, where they come, they watch a bunch of fighters from around the world, probably the States mostly in terms of financial situations. I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know their pockets. I just know they have a lot of money. I had to laugh after saying that. try to hold it in. But we did the watch party, and this is the second time that they've chosen our crew to come watch us watch the fights. We did it for the Usman, Colby Covington fight. And now we did for UFC 246, Conor McGregor versus Cowboy Cerrone. Now, Cerrone's introduction by Bruce Buffer was borderline legendary. As Bruce Buffer says and puts it, the legend, Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And I'm like, damn, I got chills. I got chills when he was saying that. I was like, all right, this is about to be a crazy, crazy scrap. So I'm thinking it's about to go down. Everyone's pumped up in the house. Everyone's tuned. I'm like, shh, everyone stop talking. You know, I give the introduction of what's about to happen for the UFC fight crew that was filming us. And we're getting into the fight that happens. And I'm like, yo, those are some hard shots. But as it's happening and I'm seeing what's going down, how Cerrone is responding, I see him reeling backwards and I'm like, my face, you can see it all over my face. It goes silent and I'm just kind of disappointed. Not in Conor. Conor did his fucking job. I was a little more let down from Cerrone. And obviously it's a fist fight. Things happen. And we know Cerrone is a slow starter by trade. Normally, most of his fights, he starts slow, then he picks it up, picks up steam, and then he taxes people. So I thought this was more or less going to be the same thing in that fight. I thought it would have been at least one or two rounds of fighting before maybe getting caught or maybe going to the distance and Conor actually being caught and finished by Cerrone or just winning a decision by Cerrone. Not the case. So as the fight goes on, about the 30-second mark, and I'm seeing that this is the beginning of the end. Cowboy is now on his butt, sitting down, covered up, and my face is just stand still. Everyone's just kind of pissed off, and I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. You're going to see it all over my face. Loss for words. I have no idea what's going on. And at that point, I'm just like, dude, I just wanted to see a longer and more competitive fight. I understand the steamroll thing. Sometimes that happens. I've been there myself and on the receiving end, and I've been there who steamrolled through some people myself. So I get it. But damn, the anticipation, the buildup, the lead up, the return, the question marks. There's so much that goes into this. Now, here we are. What's next? What's next for Cerrone? What's next for Conor McGregor? There's a lot of options for Conor McGregor. Cerrone's just going to take any other fight. He can fight whoever he wants, whenever he wants. That's his moniker, and that's probably what he's going to continue to do until the day he hangs up those gloves. Conor McGregor, on the other hand, we have a lot of interesting and fun fights. We have Conor versus Masvidal. We have Conor versus Usman. Do I think Conor deserves to skip the line? No. But we all know by trade that the UFC likes to make the biggest money fight possible. So what are the biggest money fights possible? If Usman wasn't a champ, will they make Conor versus Usman? No. Usman's a champ. But guess what? This is a big opportunity for the UFC to now give Conor a chance to do something else legendary, which is to fight for a third world title in a different weight class, third weight class, and potentially win the belt. For him to do that would be massive. And then that also, just to say devil's advocate, I'm not saying he's going to beat Usman. That's a tall task to to order, to walk, anything to happen. But if he does beat Usman, if Khabib is still in the game, now Khabib has a chance to become champ and for the rematch at 170. I'm just saying, I'm no matchmaker. I'm just putting it out there. That's what I would think if I'm playing the potential possibilities of what could happen. Now, I think the most logical fight would be Conor versus either Tony Ferguson and Khabib, or give Conor McGregor Justin Gaethje. The man has earned it. The man deserves it. He's put his time in. He's knocked out guys, finished them time and time again. And I don't think there's anybody else after Tony fights Khabib. Whoever wins that fight, I think it sets the stage for either one of those matchups. And I think the right one to make is give Conor the eliminator fight at 155 with the ever so tough Justin Gaethje. And I can see why Conor's like, yeah, you know what? He's a tough dude, but it's not the fight that I want right now. I'm looking for the big money fights. I get that. But at some point, I do believe the UFC is going to need to get back to making fights that make sense. And I know that's not the era we're living in, but that's how I'm feeling. And that's what I would do. But I could easily see the UFC leapfrogging Justin Gaethje once again and giving Conor McGregor the shot over for the winner of Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, as well as give him a shot at Usman, which I heard him talking about at the press conference. I believe he said these are all options. And I could also see him having the fight with Jorge Masvidal and possibly for the BMF belt. Now, when I see the BMF belt, and I was thinking like, man, Cerrone could have been in the running for that. But then when you see something like that happen, it's kind of like, well, damn. And then when you see what happens to Nate, when he runs into Masvidal, you're also like, well, damn. And obviously the cuts played a huge factor in that one. But there's just so many questions that get raised after watching these performances, whether these guys fought each other or the guys fought common opponents. There are a lot of things to think about. So that's kind of where my head's been. But I'm excited for Conor. It seems like he's turned over a new leaf. It seems like this might be him maturing and hitting that stage and in the runway and starting to realize life is short. I was young and dumb with a ton of money. Now I'm old and wiser with a ton of money. And I think he's probably spent a ton of money in legal fees already to this date. So for him to really get back on track and do the right thing and set himself up, and he's already set. So let me make sure I clarify that. But to make sure he's not just throwing his money into the wind and just giving it to the fucking government for whatever reason, because you're doing something that makes no logical sense because you think you're above the law, is rather silly and rather immature and rather stupid. So for him to actually be putting that money back in his pocket and hopefully doing the right things again and doubling that so that his family can actually have some longevity and wealth, I hope that's what he's doing. I hope that's what he's thinking about as he's making these life changes. I like this Conor. Great, great guy. Still a fun personality. Still witty. Still comedy to talk to, at least from the press's standpoint and what I can see from the outside looking in. And I'm glad to see that he still has his same circle and those are really good people around him. And I love seeing anyone be successful. I'm never going to be a hater on somebody who's in the limelight. I think it's natural to want to hate on someone who has so much talent and pisses it all away, who's throwing a dolly through the bus, punching an old man, doing a lot of things that people don't respect. That's the type of person I hate on. But the craft and everything that I can separate in terms of his skill set and what he has done for the MMA sport as a whole, you got to respect it. And that's why I do respect Conor McGregor. Other than that, congrats to him and the team. And Coach Kavanaugh, happy birthday to him. I actually got to go out there and go train with those guys. I do have a vintage video of me grappling with him drunk, both of us drunk as fuck in the lobby. And I told him I was going to come out to Ireland to come train, not thinking that Conor was going to be. I just wanted to come train since I was already in Liverpool. And he challenged me. And I was like, I don't know if he's being serious or not. His wife or girlfriend was there. And she kind of like walked away, left, and was kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to stay here for this. Next thing you know, my shirt's coming off. It was a really nice shirt. I didn't want to chance ripping it. And Coach Cavanaugh and I are going at it on the mats. Well, I call the mats, the carpets. And a bunch of the UFC media team and some of the other media teams were there. Maybe not the UFC media team, but media teams were there. And they were recording it. And I actually asked for the footage later. And it's all fun stuff because this is the stories I get to tell when it's all said and done. And that I could always have to look back and laugh at. And it was a good time. We had some good roles. And when I went to Ireland and I did go to his gym, we rolled again. And obviously this time he was a little bit more, both of us were a little bit more level-headed and knowing exactly where we're at, our skills and fine motor skills a little bit sharper, a little bit sharper. So that was fun. And like I said, happy birthday to him. Real quick, we have UFC, I believe, 166 fight night. In Raleigh. I might be going out there for that. I'm not quite sure yet. One of my best friends, I told him I might come down. If I do, it's just going to be for a day. I'm trying to cut back on spending, save money. I do have the free fight pass. So I travel for free under my cousin, Anthony Robinson. Shout out to my cuzzo. He's the man. Hooked it up for me. Took care of me this time around. And so I might go down there to go watch these fights. I did not know who was really on this card. I'm starting to see it now. I was looking for the entire fight card, but I just saw that Rafael Dos Anjos was on the card, and he was taking on Michael Chiesa, which is a big, big fight. I'm not sure who I like in that, but let me try to find the entire card. Actually, this is just the main card. Okay. This is just the main card. Stosic versus Jamahal Hill. Hannah Cyphers versus Angela Hill. I'm going with Angela on that one. I think her volume and her pace and experience is going to be a little too much for Cyphers. If I remember correctly, watching Cyphers fight, she didn't look like the most polished fighter out there to date right now. I know she's a little bit shy on the mic. I know something like, I know Joe or whoever was interviewing her was telling her, kind of like trying to make her feel comfortable and saying like, I know you get uncomfortable in these situations, and they try to like ease her mind and get her to speak a little bit. But I thought that was pretty cool of them to do something like that. And like I said, I didn't think she was the most polished. She won the fight. It was a tough, gritty fight and she got it done. But I do think Angela Hill has the goods, the experience, and probably the game plan to go out there and get this dub against the tough Hannah Cyphers. Now, real quick, I want to give a shout out to my guys, Hydro Canna. Drink Hydro Canna. Now, remember, this is a oral rehydration company where it's like an IV bag packed into a fun size shooter or packet. Now, I use these when I'm wrestling, after I'm wrestling, or after I'm having a long night of drinking. Now, when I say this is packed with a lot of essential and scientifically proven ratio to give you the best hydration possible in a short amount of time, this is it. Drink Hydro Canna. Go check these guys out. And the best thing about it is for my CBD lovers, it has CBD in it. 25 milligrams of CBD, nano CBD, so on a molecular level, it is the fastest absorbing that you can actually feel. And also my favorite, I'm actually going to have some of these right now before I go to my wrestling workout, is the CBD gummies. This has 10 milligrams of CBD in it. And I love these things as well. Now, you don't want to overdose on these things because, like I said, there's a ton of vitamins in it, B12s, B6, a whole bunch of stuff, sodium, potassium. The whole nine, magnesium, this everything that you need. Like I said, it's an IV bag, fun size packed into a shooter and into gummy bears. The gummy bears are probably like half an IV bag or something like that. Don't quote me on that one. But if you order more than $50 worth of product, go to Drink Hydro Canna right now. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER for 20% off. Plus you got a FUNKMASTER chain shirt. This is not the FUNKMASTER chain shirt right now, but it's the big one with the big Run DMC look. I got to get those... I'm going to get those back in stock soon. But that is the only place that you can get it right now. So go to the website, drinkhydrocannon.com. Use the discount code FUNKMASTER for 20% off. Go check them out. All right, our next fight, Jordan Espinosa versus Alex Perez. Alex Perez, I thought he was looking great in his UFC career until he ran into the one and only Joey Two Times, Joey Benavidez. Great fight for Joey Benavidez. But Perez is a veteran, not a veteran, but he's a very skilled fighter still today. Even though that fight did not go his way, I thought he was doing some things that were okay. And I thought in the fights that he had previously before that, he looked like a man beast, a man child. Anaconda chokes, hitting it on people, or was it a dark stroke or anaconda choke? I'm not sure which one it was that he's hit. He's hit two chokes in his UFC career so far, and I do think he's a tough out for anybody. He's a big frame. I've stood next to him. I'm like, dude, you fought at 35, and you look like you can be a problem. And then he fought somebody else where he just blitzed them with punches. I think it's Shorty Torres, and just annihilated him in the first round. Jordan Espinosa, he fought one guy. I believe it was Matt Snell. It was a close fight up until Matt Snell ended up snatching up his neck and finishing him. Now, Espinosa also big frame for 125. Yeah, this is at flyweight. So I'm intrigued by this matchup. I don't know if the size of Espinosa and probably the athletic ability can lean into his favor over the tough Alex Perez. Alex Perez has a great team over there. Team Oyama down in California. He has Louis Smoka, Ashley over there. So he has a lot of good bodies to work with. I forget his name. I'm drawing a blank right now. He's fighting Chito Vera. He's Chito Vera's actually fighting Jimmy Rivera. He has a lot of good bodies to work with over there at his weight class and just above his weight class. Now, the next fight, the co-main event, Rafael Dos Anjos versus Michael Chiesa. This one is going to be a fun fight that I completely forgot was on this card. Co-main event, Chiesa is coming off of the loss, I believe, to Anthony Pettis. I wish that the UFC website would actually show it. Oh, yep, it does. I just have to click the name. So let's take a look. I'm a hard hitter. I'm a ball spitter. Yeah, I'm light skinned, but I'm still a dog. Oh, nope. So Chiesa's coming off of win over Diego Sanchez. And this was a 3-round decision. He beat Carlos Condit, second round sub. And he lost to Anthony Pettis back in 2018 of July. So he's kind of been alternating a little bit more. The one before that, he also lost to Kevin Lee. So he was on a 2-fight losing streak, bounced back, and now he's on a 2-fight winning streak. And this is a big opportunity for him to take out a former champion in Rafael Dos Anjos. And remember, Chiesa used to fight at 155. So for him to beat a guy like RDA does say a lot in terms of where he's at. And I do think it would give him that confidence to know if he did go back down to 155. Because I know he missed weight, struggled with the way it was brutal. And he has a huge frame. I think he's like 6'1 or 6'2. So for him to get a win over a tough veteran like Rafael Dos Anjos would be insane for him, for his career, his morale, and just entirely. I think it would put him in a great position in that 170-pound division, because RDA is just, he's cemented within that top 10. He hasn't yet had the opportunity to, he did fight Kamaru Usman, so I take that back. So he did have an opportunity to fight for the belt had he beaten Usman. So he came up short with that one. So he beat Neil Magny, submitted him in the first round. He beat Robbie Lawler by 5-round decision. Colby Covington also did the same thing, but then he ran into Colby Covington. Covington beat him by 5-round decision, and he lost to Usman 5-round decision for the, I don't know if it was for the interim or just for, I don't know, I'm not going to say what it was for, but then he bounced back after losing 2 in a row to Usman and to Colby Covington and beating Kevin Lee, also 155er that came up to 170, now back down at 155. And he lost to Leon Edwards in a 3-round decision recently, July 20th. So, like I said, RDA is in a tough position. He's in a tough spot. It's almost, I don't want to call him a gatekeeper at 170, but he kind of is. But he is also one or two wins away from being back in title contention, because he's not getting finished, but he is losing these marquee fights against the top echelon of that division. Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman. That's pretty much it. Other than that, he's beating everybody else they're putting in front of him. He did lose to Tony Ferguson as well at 155, and he beat Safedine at 170. And that was the start of his 170-pound career. Safedine, Neil Magny, Robbie Lawler. To beat those three guys in a row like that, pretty impressive. But if he wants to get back into that title contention and really potentially fight for the title, he's got to be able to beat these guys in that marquee matchup. And I was in the same position once where I completely understand sometimes the pressure does get to you and you could always be one win away. It's kind of like Michael Bisping, before he had the opportunity to fight Luke Rockhold on short notice, he was always one win away from fighting for a world title, the fight against Chael Sonnen, trying to think who else, but he would always come up short in that big marquee fight, and he eventually got a shot. You know, the stars aligned for him. He got the shot. He beat Luke Rockhold, was able to become a UFC world champion. That could potentially happen for RDA. We don't know. But this is a tough matchup, I think. Chiesa being on a two-fight win streak, getting his mojo back a little bit, and the skill set, I'm going to say they're probably semi-equal in the grappling department. I'm going to say, though, that RDA is probably going to be the better grappler in terms of just pure BJJ. Now, Chiesa is going to have to mix in those elbows and really try to do some damage in those grappling situations and utilize those underhooks to try to take RDA down and put him on his back. He has the bigger frame. He's the bigger body in there. I do think he has a big opportunity to seize if he can implement the right game plan and not kind of make it a wild style fight, kind of like the Anthony Pettis fight ended up getting away from him when it started getting a little bit all over the place and Anthony Pettis was able to capitalize in the scrambles. Now, I think if Chiesa can slow him down and control the situations and wear on RDA and land, like I said, those strikes, make it dirty, make him pay for hanging out in the clinch, make him pay when he gets the takedowns, it could be a good night for Michael Chiesa, who seems to cut people up with elbows when he's standing. He's not the better striker. RDA is the better striker. But Chiesa has those long limbs. If he can just use it to get to where he wants to get the fight to where he wants it to be, it could be a good night for him. Now, last but not least, we have our main event matchup. Junior Dos Santos versus Curtis Blaydes. Now, this is going to be a fun fight, I think, and for a few reasons. Curtis Blaydes ranked third. JDS is ranked fourth. Now, Blaydes 6'4", JDS 6'4". Blaydes topping the scales at 265 when he steps on, and JDS hitting the scales at 238 usually. That's what it's showing right here on the UFC website. And Curtis Blaydes topping the scales at 265. Sorry about that. Now, Curtis Blaydes has the reach advantage. 80-inch versus a 77-inch reach disadvantage for JDS. Wow, I'm shot right now. Shot! Let's look at the backstory on JDS, his record, and see who he's fought. Now, here's his last few fights. JDS lost to Ngannou via TKO in round one. JDS beats Derek Lewis TKO in round two. JDS beats Bam Bam Tuivasa TKO in round two. JDS beats Blagoy Ivanov 5-round decision, and JDS also lost to Stipe Miocic. Now, when we go back and we look at Curtis Blaydes, he's had a pretty solid run himself. Where you at, bro? Curtis Blaydes beating Abdul Rukamakad Alphabet. I'm just calling him the Alphabet Man at heavyweight, Russian fighter. After that, he beat Pretty Big Willis. What's that his name? Justin Willis. Beat him by decision. He beat the Alphabet by second round decision, KO, and he beat Willis by a 3-round decision. He lost to Ngannou in the rematch, which people thought was going to be a different fight, but he lost him 45 seconds into the first round. After that, before that, he did beat Overeem via a lot of vicious elbows on the ground, ground and pound in round three, finished him. He beat Mark Hunt, decisioned him in round three, three-round decision, and Olenek, he beat him as well. So he's had a pretty good run. He did run into Ngannou twice, which says a lot. Losing into Ngannou, I don't think there's any shame in that. That guy is a man-child. He is a absolute beast. So to lose to a guy like that, no problem. I'm going to say here, JDS has a great use of footwork and lateral footwork at that in circling and getting off the cage and not hanging out. I do think that's going to play a big factor where Curtis Blaze tends to plot a little bit more, in my opinion. But if he could cut off the cage and just hold center and keep pushing JDS against the cage, who likes to utilize those long jabs, maybe there's an opportunity for him to land a big bomb, maybe even a front kick to capitalize him. All you need to do is get a reaction out of JDS. Get him to react and respect and freeze. If Curtis Blaze can do that while JDS is circling around the perimeter, which he tends to do in almost every single fight. He circles and just circles the perimeter back and forth, utilizing that long jab to the body, to the head, snapping it 1-2, and then circling out of there. If Blaze can keep the pressure on him, I do see there's an opportunity that he can clinch him and potentially get him down. As long as he doesn't put his head down in a position where he can get those elbows from JDS and end up just getting put out. It's one thing to get elbowed at 135 weight class when we rehydrated back up to 150, 155. And another thing to get elbowed in the head by a heavyweight who weighs 265 pounds, 240 pounds. That's a big difference of weight, gravity, speed, velocity, everything, torque, all that. All that shit. Now, if Curtis Blaze could do a good job of getting him in the clinch and taking him down, I could see him wearing on JDS and probably getting a finish, possibly somewhere around the third round. And I know Dos Santos is a black belt, supposedly, in jiu-jitsu, but how often has he actually used that thing? I really don't know. But that's why every fight is different, and it's going to be very intriguing to see how both of these guys approach this fight. So I'm looking forward to this one. This should be a good card. I'm hoping I can make it down there to go hang out with my boy Enoch Marie. Shout out to you, my guy, because I know you're always listening. So I'm trying to make it happen, Captain. And if I could get some money in order, maybe do a private lesson or two, I think I could be down there. No problem, man. But like I said, big shout out to our guys, Hydrocana. Go check these guys out at drinkhydrocana.com. Again, CBD lovers, you will not be disappointed. This has saved me time and time again. And it's not an instant thing that you drink it in right away. It has to get into your body, go through the body. So with about 20, 30 minutes around that time window, I'm going to say, like I said, if you're hungover, you drink a glass of water and drink one of these, it's going to do enough to put the fluids back in your body, as well as the minerals that you need. At the end of the day, the vitamins and the minerals are what's leaving your body when you drink. The vitamins and minerals are what's leaving your body when you work out, when you're dehydrated. This is what's going to help your body. Go check them out. Like I said, drinkhydrocana.com. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER for 20% off. Again, thank you guys. If you guys like my stuff, I like my stuff. I'm changing up the words now. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit or spinning backfist, baby. Drop a comment. Let me know what you like, what you didn't like. And I'm going to start doing some more technique breakdowns. If there's any moves in particular that you guys want to see, please holler at me. Drop a comment. Let me know right now. And let me know who you guys have picked as the winner in the comments. Curtis Blaze or JDS Junior Dos Santos. I'll see you guys next time at the end of the week. Well, actually next week. And also, happy Martin Luther King Day, baby. Happy Martin Luther King Day. You guys take it easy. Take it easy. OS. I'm out.